words to them when they heard about the resurrection. Just didn't believe it. But they had been prepared. They had been told so many times, just trying to get them ready. But for whatever reason, they couldn't get a hold of it. I don't know if they just refused to believe what was being told to them because that's not what they wanted. And I think sometimes that's how we are. People tell us something and tell us something and tell us something, but we it's not that we can't believe it. We just refuse to believe it because that's not what we want. We don't want it to be that way. So we just resist and say, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe whatever. And then it happens the way we've been told. But then sometimes people don't believe because they just can't accept it. They just don't understand it for whatever reason. And his disciples, no matter how many times he talked to them, they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. But he told them time and time again. And just as a side note there in verse 31, the Bible says that the Lord was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It says the Son of Man must suffer many things. He understands what it's like to suffer. So whatever suffering you're going through, whatever suffering you might have to go through in the days to come, whatever you've gone through in the past, the Lord understands all about that. He knows exactly what it means to suffer, and I mean really suffer. He understands all about it. Nobody knows my sorrow. Well, there's one who always knows. There's one who always understands, and that's the Lord. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be rejected. You ever been rejected by somebody? And I don't mean something trivial like, you know, you ask somebody on a date and they say, no, I wouldn't go out with you if you was the last person on this earth. I'm not talking about some simple reject. I'm talking about where you've had somebody just really hurt you bad, just for no good reason hurt you bad and reject you just flat out in spite of all your efforts to reach out to them, in spite of all your attempts to be good to them, in spite of everything that you've done to show your love and your compassion, they just reject you. Well, the Lord knows all about that, all about how that feels, because after all the things that he did, time and again, to show his love and his compassion, the miracles he performed, the things that he said, all of it, his own people still rejected him. He understands what that's like. He knows how a person feels when it's that way. Verse 32 says, and he spake that saying openly. In other words, this wasn't something that he told just a few of his disciples or a few select people. He just was very open with it. It wasn't something he tried to hide. He just told it out right in the open where everybody could hear what he had to say about what he was going to go through. Now, here it is. If you want a beautiful picture, just in type, a beautiful picture of the flesh and the spirit and how they work and how they think, you got it right here in this passage. How many of you understand that as saved people, we got two natures? We still got that old Adamic nature, what we might call the flesh, and then we got the new nature, and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, every believer. So we got those two things, and the Bible talks in the book of Galatians about how the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another, and because they're contrary to one another, we're not able to do the things that we would. There is a constant battle going on inside of us every day that we live on this earth, every day. Now, we also have the devil we have to fool with and the world, but every day of your life, there's conflict, right? But let's just be honest about it. Let's just be real, okay? Let's break it down where it really is. Don't you every day of your life feel some type of struggle within you to not do something that you know God wants you to do? I mean, can't you be real about that? Some days maybe that struggle is more intense than others, but you feel it to some degree every day. Or maybe you feel that pull or that tug to do something you know you shouldn't do. It's there every day in every one of us, whether it's, you know, something that we're pulled to think about we don't need to think about, or say that we don't need to say or do that we... It's always there. There's that constant conflict and struggle that rages within us believers every day of our life. You know what that is? Biblically speaking, do you know what that is? That's the flesh and the spirit is what that is. That's your flesh and the Holy Spirit of God being contrary one to the other, and there is that struggle. The Holy Spirit of God's always trying to get us to do right. Amen? That's what the Spirit of God desires. The Holy Spirit desires for us to do what we should and not do what we shouldn't. And the Holy Spirit's constantly trying to move us in that direction. But then there's the flesh, that old nature. That's at odds with the Spirit. And haven't you in your life, and we all do it, haven't you yielded at times to the enticement of the flesh? Haven't you? Don't we all do it just about every day to some degree? Just give in to that flesh a little? And I'm not talking about necessarily doing something, you know, immoral or whatever. I mean, that is one way you can give in, but I'm just talking about what we might not consider to be as serious issues, but just give in sometimes and say a little something when you know. When y'all seen them commercials where somebody's standing there and on one shoulder they got this little white angel, and then another show they got this little devil, this little red devil on there, and one's whispering in one ear, one's in the other, you know, telling them what to do. Well, that's how it is really, though, with the flesh and the spirit. You got that flesh saying, the spirit saying, don't you do that, don't you do that. Don't you say that. Keep your mouth shut. Or this is what you should say. You should say at this time. And then this, you know, flesh over here, go ahead. Let him have it. Tell her like it is. You know, they need to be put in their place. Just go on. Just say it. Just say it. Just do it. There's that constant battle. And hey, if y'all won't, I will. I'll just tell you flat out, I give in to the flesh sometimes. I'm not proud of that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to stand up here and act like some super spiritual person that always wins. You know, wins the conflict. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I just give in to the flesh. And I say something or do something I don't need to. But thank the Lord, there's times I yield to the Spirit and I do the right thing. Well, right here in this passage, you've got a beautiful picture of the flesh and the Spirit. Beautiful picture of it. Back up here in verse 29, when Jesus says, but whom say ye that I am? Peter speaks up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who you reckon prompted him to say that? Well, Jesus told him it wasn't flesh and blood. That was prompted by the Spirit of God to say. Okay, then Jesus begins to tell him about what he's going to go through. And look at this right here. Verse 32. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Who's he rebuking? He's rebuking the Lord. Jesus just told him how it's going to be, and Peter's rebuking him. In fact, if you go back to Matthew's account and read it, you see there that Peter said to him plainly, he said, this ain't going to happen to you. I heard what you just said, but it ain't happening. Lord, you're just talking. This ain't going to happen. Now, who you think told him to say that? Or where he got his inspiration from? Well, it wasn't from the Spirit. It wasn't from the Spirit. That's how that things work. You can have a person, because, you hear it now in this world today, sometimes it's just crazy, the stuff it's said, but you heard people referred to as having split personalities, you know. One minute you see them and they're like this, and the next minute you see them they're like this. Well, to a degree, we're all a split personality. We all got a flesh and a spirit. Or if it's not the flesh, it's the devil, you know, speaking through us, which was the case right here with Peter. So we got that split personality. You can have a single individual who is saved and they love the Lord and they're a good person for the most part. But sometimes they can act in a way that'll just make you scratch your head and think, wow, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. And here's what some people do. Some people say, well, if they did that, then that must mean they're not saved. And that always is said by somebody who has said or done many things in their life after they got saved that they shouldn't have, okay? Just because you see somebody that's saved say something they shouldn't or do something, that doesn't mean that person isn't saved. You know what that might just mean? It might just mean that they lost the battle that time, that they gave in to the flesh, or they let the devil speak through them. That may be what it means. It happens to all of us. Happens to the best of us. Happened to Simon Peter, that's for sure. He's rebuking the Lord. Look here, verse 33. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. There's some rebuking going on here. Peter rebukes the Lord. Then Jesus rebuked him. Which one do you think mattered the most? What Jesus had to say is what mattered the most. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know what Jesus realized here? Jesus recognized who was speaking through Peter at this time. And it's a scary thought, but the fact of the matter is we can all be used of the devil. Every one of us can be. Even when we have the best of intentions. Sometimes our intentions, like when Peter's rebuking him and saying, no, you're not going to be crucified. You're not going to be killed. That ain't going to happen. Do y'all think he meant good or bad in what he said? He had good intentions. His idea is, look, Lord, we love you. We're not going to let that happen to you. They may try that, but they're not going to pull it off. We're going to stop them from doing that. And let me ask you this. Whenever that whole thing went down, which one of them disciples whooped out the sword and cut Malchus's ear off? It was Peter. Peter wasn't just talking. He wasn't just blowing smoke. He wasn't one of them kind of fellas. Y'all remember when you was coming along, that guy that was always bowed up and he's going to whoop everybody around, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do, but he never did anything. You know what them kind of fellas? And then you had those that they wouldn't say nothing. Next thing you know, you're just picking yourself up off the ground kind of fellas. Well, Peter wasn't just blowing smoke. When he said, Lord, we ain't going to let that happen. It ain't happening. He was for real about it. He was the one disciple out of all of them who had enough courage to whoop out a sword against a mob of people and cut off a man's ear to try to protect the Lord Jesus. So he's not just blowing smoke here. He's for real. His intentions were good, but you know who was speaking through him? The devil was speaking through him. You can have good intentions sometimes, the best of intentions for that matter, and be completely wrong in what you say. Either be wrong in what you say or perhaps wrong in how you say it, or maybe even wrong in when you say it. But the devil can speak through a person. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're possessed necessarily of a devil or lost. It could just mean that somehow, for some reason, you have allowed the devil to use you as his vessel to speak to somebody. And that's exactly what Peter did right here on this occasion. So he doesn't turn and look at his disciples and say, Peter, I rebuke you. It isn't what he says. He turns and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. He realized, he had enough wisdom to recognize who was speaking through Peter. And that's something we all need to pray for, I believe. Because in life, we get all kinds of advice. We get told all kinds of things, even when we don't necessarily ask for it. Right? Y'all know them people who love to tell you their opinion even when you don't ask for their opinion? There's a lot of them people in this world. They just feel it necessary to always bless you with their opinion about things. And look, some advice we get is real good advice. Because God can speak through a person just like the devil can. And sometimes it is the Lord speaking to us. But sometimes it's just the devil speaking through somebody. And you and I should pray for God to give us the wisdom and discernment to be able to recognize who it is that's speaking to us, whose voice is coming through the individual that's talking to us. That's important to be able to do, because all advice is not good advice. Even if it comes from a dear friend, Peter loved the Lord. He loved him. This is not one of his enemies speaking to him here. This is a friend of the Lord that loved him dearly saying this. And you and I have to recognize that even our dear friends sometimes who love us can be misguided in what they say to us. Their intention may be the best in the world. But here's the reason why that gets mixed up sometimes, because people who love us oftentimes are bad about speaking to us from their emotions. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They love us and they care for us so much that their emotions take over and they speak from their emotions. Like Peter here, when he hears Jesus say, this is what them people's going to do to me. I'm going to suffer, they're going to reject me, and then they're going to kill me. You know what that did? I can tell you, just from what I read with Peter here in the Bible, you know what that did? That made him mad, what that did. Somebody going to do that to my friend? No, that ain't happening. It made him mad. His emotions got into this thing, and he wound up letting the devil speak through him here. And sometimes our friends, the ones that love us the most, are the ones we have to watch out for, because they love us so much that their emotions get involved in the thing, and they have the best of intentions when they talk to us, but they're speaking emotionally. And they've not recognized that the devil is now using them to say things that really are not best for us. You have to pray for discernment and not just hear something and run with it and think, okay, that's the way it is. Even if it comes from a dear friend, you have to be careful. Jesus was able to recognize who was talking to him here. Satan was speaking through him. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In this context right here, what would be the things of God? Verse 31. All that stuff right there were the things that be of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were his Father's will for him, that he suffer, be rejected, be killed, and rise again the third day. He says, you don't savor those things. Why wouldn't the devil savor those things? Because he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. Why wouldn't Satan savor the fact that Jesus would suffer, be rejected, be killed, and rise again the third day? What did that do for the devil? That sealed his doom, didn't it, friend? Exactly what it did. See, so what's he going to try to do? He's going to try any means he can to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his Father's will and going through all that. He didn't want him to. You'd think Satan being his arch enemy that he would be, yeah, kill him, kill him, kill him. But listen, Satan realized that if Jesus was rejected and killed and rose again, it was over for him. He knew that. So he savored not the things that be of God, which in the context were that there in verse 31, but the things that be of men. And we're going to stop here because it's 9:45. We'll pick up tonight in verse 33 and talk a little bit more about that, finish up the chapter, maybe even go on into the next chapter. Any